McShane Bible Study Day 300. I don't know. That seems kind of a big deal, right? Only 65 of these to go. And we are in 2 Kings chapter 8. And so the story of the Elisha had told the Shunammite woman, whose son he had raised, to leave the area. He'd gone to go to the Philistines for 7 years because there was going to be a famine. And she comes back and someone had taken her land. Meanwhile, the king is talking to Gehazi. And she walks up. And so he had been asking Gehazi, this verse 4 says, "Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, 'Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done.'" And he's recounting all these tales.
Wait, isn't Gehazi the guy with leprosy?
He's now a leper, yeah. But I find it interesting. This is common in the heart of man. Gehazi has no problem talking about all the wonderful miracles, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves that part. But did he want to live the life Elisha was living? No, he loved the sparkle and the bling, right? Mm-hmm. This is very common today. But he didn't want to live the life. So he loves talking mm-hmm. about all the showy things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only thing that stood out to me. So the king restores her land. And then Elisha goes to, Elisha came to Damascus. And then the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, hears he's there, tells Hazael to go to him, ask him if he will live. Elisha tells Hazael, "Tell him he'll live, but he's going to die." And then he starts crying. He says, "Why are you crying?" "Because I know all the terrible things you're going to do to Israel." Remember, Hazael is the one that, remember Elijah said, "Lord, I want to die." I think he went up on a mountaintop. "I want to come be with you. I'm tired of this life." And he says, "I have things to do for you first." Basically, he said, "You're going to go." It's not exactly how he said it, but he did say, "You're going to go anoint Hazael king.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go, Elisha is going to take up after you," right? And maybe a couple other things. So now Elisha is the one that's taken up after him. And now Elisha goes and basically sets into motion Hazael becoming king. Hazael kills his king, and he becomes king of Aramea, which is centered in modern-day Syria. And then it goes and tells us the reign of a couple kings in Israel and Judah. I'm not going to comment. They all walked in the ways of Ahab. They were not good, godly kings, right? Next, we look at 1 Timothy 5. And again, he's talking a lot about interrelations, about building the church up in a holy and righteous manner where people treat each other in godly ways. And some of these things, he tells them, because he's taking account the fact that everyone is still dealing with the flesh, right? So he says, be aware of that. Be cognizant that that's the situation, that you build people up knowing where they are,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he talks for a good while about widows. And he's talking about, see, in those times, it was much more difficult for a woman to make a living in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a woman's husband died, there's the potential that she would just have no money, no way to get food.
Mm-hmm.
But he's separating. He's trying to make it clear. See, this is a problem governments have, because modern governments have decided it's their providence to take care of people who need help most. And so on one hand, that's a good thing that they want to do. On the other hand, because they're giant systems, they have no way to provide help in a way that Paul is describing here. Paul is basically saying, if you boil this all down, who truly needs help? And who will actually be hurt by the help?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's saying, if helping someone hurts them, and also it's taking money away from other people that could be helped,
mm-hmm.
then giving them money or food or whatever
mm-hmm.
is not actually helping them, because it's making them idle in their time, and you know, and leading to them seeking worldliness, seeking fleshliness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some people truly need help. And so he's saying, you know, if a widow is of a certain age,
uh-huh.
and she's been giving her life to helping the people of God,
mm-hmm.
and she's got no one else to help her, then we mm-hmm. need to help her.
Mm-hmm.
If these requirements aren't met,
mm-hmm.
then our helping her is bad in one of two ways. We're either taking money away from people that need help more than her, like we just mm-hmm. discussed. If she's got, you know, kids that very much should be taking care of her, and we're giving her money, then maybe that money can't go to someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if we're giving her money and she's young and able and could be going a different way, then maybe we're keeping her stuck in worldliness by giving mm-hmm. her money. So he's basically saying, by how we practice building people up, it needs to be with wisdom and discernment on what's truly right and good for the person. Because then the natural would say, well, of course it's good to give them money.
Mm-hmm.
But the government's having a big problem with that right now, where they just gave a ton of people money over the last year and a half. And a lot of people say, well, it's great. I get more money sitting at home than I do working. Well, that's not good for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard. But some people, the government shut down their livelihoods and said, you can't work anymore, you know? And then now they come up with new ways to do it. So you can't shut down someone's livelihood and not give them money, right? So, but they can't. These things can't be determined from up high on top of millions of people. But Paul's saying we're building here a culture of godly people. And these decisions should be made with discernment and wisdom on an individual basis based on the particular person, right? And then he talks about leaders, you know, taking care there. He talks about people in sin and what to do there. And again, all this, how do we take care of each other? As far as sins, 24 says, the sins of some people are conspicuous. You know what that word means?
Nope.
It means it's obvious.
Okay.
I can see what they're doing is sinful. They're obviously far from God. I know someone who is important in my life. You know, I mean, when she was in the room when the Lord baptized me in His Holy Spirit and came on power and mm-hmm. show. I grew very close to her for a while, and she has gone very, very far from God. And she still claims Him.
Mm-hmm.
But her sins are obvious for anyone to see, even though she's now re-described the Bible to fit the fact that she had a rough life early on, and these demons are still there, and this, you know, unfortunately, it brought her in a bad place, and now these spirits have convinced her to re-describe the Bible in a way that's obviously not what it says,
mm-hmm.
and it's obvious for anyone to see who knows the Lord. Like, you know, I still love her. It's very sad, but she's not coming to me for discipleship, you know? Her sins are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Other sins, I would say most of them,
mm-hmm.
are more hidden. They're not so obvious when we talk mm-hmm. to someone or see someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, you know, we have to have all discernment in these things. Now the Lord, if someone is in our life, or the Lord wants us to just speak a word to somebody,
mm-hmm.
He can give us this. When Mommy and I were on that mission trip to New Orleans, Rabbi David, who's a, you know, old Jewish man, is walking around, and we were at Ray Avenue Baptist Church, an all-black congregation, and these kids came up you know, big chains, and they hadn't been part of the service, but they just came for kind of the party afterwards, I guess. I don't know. I don't know their story. We didn't know them. And the Lord gave David a word. And we just walk up to these people, and he whispered in his ear. I don't know what he said. The guy just broke down and started crying. The Lord gave Rabbi David something for this man he did not know to say. And he said it, and it very much moved him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he said afterwards, I don't remember exactly everything he said. It was just a little short one-liner stuck out. But he said, you know, who would have thought that old white Jewish man giving a word to a young black gangbanger.
What's a gangbanger?
It just means people. A lot of young men in inner cities.
What's an inner city?
Downtown part of a city.
Okay.
Not the nice part of the downtown, but the poor part of the downtown. They don't have fathers at home, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking for a father figure in their life. And they don't, their mother's probably struggling to, you know, make a living. And so she's not around very much. And they're looking for a father. And then these gangs of young kids who are doing bad things, they might be selling drugs, they might be playing with guns too much, you know, whatever. They say, hey, kid, and they invite them in, and, you know, we'll teach you the ways of life, basically. And then they become a part of this gang.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, he just used it as a term. But anyways, it was two different people that don't know each other from completely different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord knows everybody. And he gave something for Rabbi David to say to him in a powerful way. So anyways, all that to say, the sins of some people are conspicuous before them, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So we can't see them with our natural eyes. However, the Lord can, in some circumstances, if he desires, reveal things to us, right? But in general, we don't know. So we take everything. We don't judge someone. Well, outwardly, they look good. And just assume that is correct about someone we don't know. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We can also see, well, that person's doing something that seems terrible. But we don't know their circumstances. So basically, he's saying, try to always approach everyone with the mind of the Lord, knowing that we don't know everything, but be willing to receive from the Lord whatever he knows in the situation. And most times, for me, that doesn't happen with most people I meet, but sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're finishing Daniel 12. It starts out, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So Michael, we see, is a great prince of everyone who's has their name written in the book of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is often, and I would kind of, I'm like, okay, yeah, Michael is the great prince. He's over the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And that's in line with kind of what we've seen so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, in this one, he's described as the great prince. In other words, the chief archangel over the people of God, which is interesting. That doesn't mean like we're under him in a... It just means he's in charge of kind of the battles and stuff in those heavenly areas that we might be unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge of help. Angels are to be for the help of the sons of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're servants and helpers. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
the context can get messed up for people who tend to, would never say they worship angels, but tend to worship angels, which we are not to do, right? But the angels are an important part of what God is doing, right? But they're meant to be servants of the sons of God. So we see, okay, we see a people being delivered. So there's a trouble like has never been seen before, right? We see a people being delivered. We see the dead coming alive, new life, right? So most people are going to see this and they're going to say, oh, this is after we're all dead and gone. That's not what he's saying. Verse 3, and those who are wise, those who have been taught my ways, right? How to become wise. Mm-hmm. Only God is wise. So those who have been transformed with the wisdom of God, mm-hmm. right? Shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. So mm-hmm. we have great darkness around, and now we have a people, sons of God, who are shining brightly. It's a beacon of light and hope in a time of darkness, right? And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So many are coming to righteousness, coming to follow the Lord, give their lives to the Lord, right? But you, Daniel, verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. So he said there's a lot of knowledge will increase and people will be going to and fro with all kinds of different doctrines and beliefs and philosophies and like, you know, again, all these things described today, right? And then skipping down to the end, he says, seal this up. This is not until the time of the end. We see two men by the river. But going down to verse 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. So we see this simultaneously happening. Some people being refined and trained up by the Lord, mm-hmm. but other people going their own way and not understanding.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's happening under their nose. They can't see it. Just as we just talked about in Timothy. Sometimes you can't see what's going on with a person. Oftentimes, with your eyes, these things either come about through relationship and opening up so someone can help another person. Right? Mm-hmm. That's how we disciple. I mean, in large part, the person has to want, excuse me, in totality, the person has to want discipleship to be discipled.
Mm-hmm.
In large part, the way things will be revealed is through them being spoken. But in some parts, the Lord will reveal things to the discipler, to the disciplee, about what's going on spiritually in their life that they're not able to see or not willing to reveal or whatever. But really, if someone's not willing to reveal it,
mm-hmm.
it can't be dealt with,
mm-hmm.
right? We want the magician spiritual life, right? Where someone will just touch me with their magic wand and all my problems will disappear. That's not the way of God, mm-hmm. usually. Sometimes that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, he wants us, through relationship, through discipleship, through the family culture of God, to be discipled and transformed and changed over mm-hmm. time, right? So that the mm-hmm. small changes day to day, we can't even hardly recognize the change. But over years, we see, wow, I've changed dramatically, right? Or you've changed dramatically. And this is the process of purifying. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined. That's the process, right? That's mm-hmm. what we're doing right now. All right, let's go to the next one. And we're ending in Psalm 56 and 57. And both of these, you know, the first one, 56, was when he fell into the hands of the Philistines at Gat, right? And then 57 is when he's hiding from Saul in a cave. You know, in both cases, they're terrifying, right? He has an enemy mm-hmm. out for him, surrounding him, that wants to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary situation, right? We've mm-hmm. we've never been in that situation. So he's crying out to God. In both of these, mm-hmm. they're very similar. But in both cases, he says, you are my protection. What can these men do to me? My life is in your hands. Mm-hmm. I won't be afraid of any man or any circumstance that I find myself in. Because you are sovereign Lord and King. and I am yours. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That should be our heart in all that we do, right? Mm-hmm. That we're not bothered by anything that happens in the world, any situation we find ourselves in that's uncomfortable. We do find ourselves in uncomfortable situations, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we've never had someone about to kill us, but uncomfortable, yeah, to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. But says, I won't worry about those things. Because you're mm-hmm. Lord, you're God, you're King, you're Almighty. What can this person or this situation hurt me? It's just mm-hmm. a person or a situation, right? And when we're freed of that fear, we can actually be an instrument of God. We can think, mm-hmm. okay, God, what are you doing in this situation? Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of, because when we're trapped in fear, you read Romans 8, and the spirit of fear is the opposite of the spirit of sonship. Mm-hmm. They're juxtaposed there. If we're in fear, we're not walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We've put ourselves under the enemy to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because he's Lord of this world, that spirit of fear is of the enemy, right? It's of the world. Mm-hmm. There's no fear in God, right? Except fear of God, right? Like he's the only one we fear, mm-hmm. right? We hold him in awe and wonder and know that our lives are in his hands. But mm-hmm. because he's blessed us and welcomed us in, we're filled with gratitude and peace and joy because mm-hmm. he has our lives. Mm-hmm. Whether or not, I step out the door and a bear comes running through the neighborhood and eats me up, mm-hmm. like, who cares? He will bless you guys. Mm-hmm. I would be very sad because I'm not with you. You guys would be sad because mm-hmm. I'd be gone. Mm-hmm. But the Lord would take care of you. Mm-hmm. He would take care of you for me because he loves mm-hmm. me. And if he decided I needed to be eaten by a bear, well then, that would be best for you guys probably. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'd be with him, so that'd be all good. Mm-hmm. Even though that day it wouldn't seem best for you, it'd be difficult. But right? But mm-hmm. As much as we can, we need to learn the Lord is good and I've given mm-hmm. him my life and he will bless it. And so for my sake, he would bless you guys for that. But for your sakes, he loves you also. Mm-hmm. Right? So mm-hmm. as long as you continually seek him, he would bless you. And he would bless you through it. And you'd someday learn to see, well, that was a blessing for me. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to happen. Right? Mm-hmm. But it means there's nothing that can pull us away from the love of God and the ongoing knowledge that he mm-hmm. is all sovereign, almighty, all good, mm-hmm. and he loves us. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So why would we fear any situation? Why would we allow ourselves to be uncomfortable mm-hmm. in any situation? Mm-hmm. Because God is with us. Mm-hmm. What could make us uncomfortable when we have God with us? Mm-hmm. Right? We put our lives in his hand and he's God. This is just a situation, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's easier to say. It takes practice. It takes maturity. But that should be our mind and our heart to grow. To say, God, I want to grow in this area. Mm-hmm. Right? All right. I don't have anything else. Do you?
Mm, no. God bless you.
God bless you.